Can you hear me okay? Are you too hot?
No.
Are you too cold?
Man, that was a wreck.
Y'all tell me if that comes the other way. Well, welcome. Welcome to Grace Outreach Family Church this morning. It's good that you're here. Drew, good morning. I know you're excited to be here. I've heard you all morning long, brother. That's okay. We have a lot of things that have been going on in the church with helping people in other cities that went through Hurricane Harvey. And I so appreciate it. This past Thursday, several people from our church went down to Corpus, Rockport. There's several buildings that have been built for people that are there, and many of them from people that are in the church. Several of us went up to LaGrange yesterday to deliver packages to, I think it was 125, 135 different children and some of their families. And people in the community also contributed and helped this. So it's been a very busy week, and yet we're coming up on Christmas. And it's so good to see that so many are involved and interested in continuing giving their time, their finance, and providing gifts for others. So I really do appreciate it, but we know that's what we should do, and we know that pleases the Lord. But I just want to let that be known. Sharon Stanley, I'm going to ask if she'd come forward. She too has been out of town, helping people in her own family and friends.
Good morning. It is so wonderful to see each of you here this morning. Some are new, some are already family, but when you walked through those doors, I hope you felt the love of Jesus, because that's what we have here. We are family, and we welcome all of you. And I just want to say a big thank you for whoever decorated that beautiful tree back there. Isn't that awesome? Thank you guys for doing that for us. It's just so festive and so pretty. So you could have done anything today, but you chose to get up, get dressed, and come to church. So I still love this verse. I want to read it to you. It's out of Psalm 89. Happy, happy. How many want to be happy? Happy are those who hear the joyful call to worship. That's what we're doing here today, is worshiping. And here's the promise. For they will walk in the light of your presence, Lord. How many could use a little more light in your life? Do we see a lot of darkness everywhere we look? Well, you know what? God is looking for worshipers. That's the bottom line. And we're here today worshiping, and he shows up. He promises in this verse that when we worship, we'll walk in the light of his presence. And there's no greater place to be than in his presence, because he is light, right? What a wonderful, wonderful promise. Because the truth is, light always dispels the darkness. Always. Darkness and light cannot share or occupy the same space. So I don't know where you are this morning. Christmas is a really happy season for a lot of people, but for some people, especially those who have lost loved ones and are going through tough times, it can be a dark time. And so wherever you are, bring God's light to that situation, his word, his presence, and I promise you it will dispel the darkness. My name is Sharon, and I'm so privileged to lead our women's Bible study group. We're taking a winter break right now because with the holidays, everybody's really busy. A lot of people are out of town. I'm going to be out of town starting next Friday, so I won't get to be with y'all for a while. I'm going to help my daughter and another, Tricia, who flooded in the Houston area. And I just feel called to do that until we start back up Bible study again. The study we're going to be doing, it's so very powerful. It's called Believing Jesus. Amen. Believing Jesus. This study is the journey through the book of Acts. It was written by Dr. Luke, who was a first century physician, who also wrote the book of Luke. And this is what's so awesome. He is the only known non-Jewish or Gentile writer in the Bible. The study's called Believing Jesus, because from the beginning to the end of Acts, which is what we're going to be studying, believing Jesus is the core value that marked every believer in the first church. Of course, the word Acts implies action, so we know this is going to be an action-filled study, okay? We're going to glean a lot from it. This is not a study on believing in Jesus. Travis told us how to believe in Jesus this morning. You confess and you believe with your heart, right? This is a study on believing Jesus, but we have to know what to believe, right? For years, I believed in Jesus, but that's all I knew because I had never picked up a Bible. I'd gone to church. I'd taken my kids to church, but I had never picked up a Bible. I didn't even know. I knew the gospel message, but that was all I knew. So here's the truth. When you choose, and it is a choice, to believe Jesus once you get into this book, and then you act on those beliefs, you're going to see some things change in your life and the lives of those around you. Your whole world will shift and change, and it'll never be the same again. I'm living proof, because if someone would have told me back in my mid-40s that I'd be standing up in front of a church talking about this, I would have never believed it. And I'm proof that God can transform and change anyone or any circumstances. In fact, the more impossible your circumstances seems, that's what he specializes in. Don't ever forget that. He's the God of the impossible. His word says that. And here's the thing. As you study his love letters, and that's what these are. These are his love letters and his instructions to us. Here's the greatest benefit of all. You'll get to know him and enter into a relationship with him that I didn't even know was possible. That's real and it's personal. And he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's always with you, no matter what's going on. So even if you've never picked up a Bible, or maybe you've been in the Bible for years and you think, oh, I know that book. But let me tell you something. We forget. We're very forgetful. And also, sometimes we're running on empty. We need to be refilled, right? We need to be reminded and refreshed. This Bible study is for you. Now, thanks to sweet Cindy Nahara, she has a sign-up sheet right back there on that table. I need to know how many books to buy because we're starting on January the 18th. And please sign that if you want to join us, so I know how many books to purchase. And this is going to be a very, if we thought the last one was good, I know this one's going to be good too. So I invite you to come and try us out. And if you don't have a Bible, we will furnish you with a Bible, okay? So that's that subject. Now, back in the back, you'll see some of these hanging from some hangers, these crosses that say, faith, hope, and love. These are free for the taking. There's probably at least 250 of them back there. These are such a great witnessing tool and way to show love to the world around us that I've never had someone turn it down, never had someone not take one. I've seen tears. I've heard testimonies. I mean, I've gotten out of my comfort zone many times to give one of these when God would say, give this to that person. I'm like, no, I don't think this is the one. He'd say, yes, it is. And I'm like, okay, here we go. And it's amazing, the stories. And as time goes by, take one and take some to give away and intentionally pray. Put one on before you leave the house and say, God, if there's someone who needs this today, just show me that one. And God will show you what to do. Yes, Liz. Can you come? Okay. Wow. Wow, that's from a little child. I'm telling you, these crosses are powerful because it's the love and the power behind the action. I was in, I'm having feet trouble. You know, when you get older, you start having problems. But anyway, this guy's called the foot guy. And all he has are people that have feet trouble come in there all day long. So I was going to pick up my new refurbished inserts, and I wore a cross because there's two little gals that work in there. And God, it was like I thought God was saying, just take two in a little bag and give them to those gals that work there. And I'm like, okay. So I go in. Well, those gals weren't there. And it was just the foot guy and another person working there, another guy. And this guy is not real, he's very business-minded. He just does his job, and I never felt any relationship. I mean, you know what I'm saying. You know people like that. But God's saying to me, give him one. I'm like, no, God, I don't want to do this. No, are you sure? Yes, I'm sure. And I'm like, but. So as I'm starting to leave, I said, so are you going to have a big Christmas? He says, no, not really. Well, that told me he's probably going to be by himself. Well, I said, well, you know what? I want to give you something. So I handed him this. And I said, it says faith, hope, and love on it, just to remind you that God loves you. Then he reaches down in his shirt and he pulls out his own cross, which told me he was a Christian. And I'm like, oh my gosh. I said, well, Bill, I said, you have nothing but trouble people that come in here. Why don't you give this one to someone you think needs it? I mean, it's as simple as that. God will just guide you and lead you, but it's very powerful. I encourage you to take as many as you want. And when we run out, we'll get some more. Now, Christmas party for the women. No boys allowed, sorry. The information's up here. Christine's. You do not want to miss our Christmas party. It is so much fun. Sharon, I hope you can come. I'm going to be sending out an email probably on Tuesday to remind you of the details and what to bring, because we've got some fun things planned. So I hope to see you all there. God bless you.
Thank you, Sharon. So Christmas is only 2 weeks away. If you can believe that. So the next couple of Sundays, of course, we're going to continue having Sunday services. So Christmas Eve falls on a Sunday morning. And what we'll do is we will have a slightly more condensed version, and it'll kind of be a little more intimate, a little more focused Sunday morning service on Christ and Christmas and family. And so that's just so you can kind of plan for that. You'll definitely be out by 12. We're shooting maybe 11:30, 11:45 that you would be out. Our services will start at the same time. And then the next Sunday is New Year's Eve. And we'll also have services continually on Sunday morning. The Bible studies, they begin again in January. The men starts the second Thursday. The women starts the third Thursday. So let me see. I had a bulletin here. So this is our bulletin. I hope everyone has one of these bulletins this morning. If it is your first, second, or third time to ever attend Grace Outreach Family Church, if you'd be so kind as to tear this off, we actually paid more for this little piece of paper, and we added this. As I've said before, it come blank, but we kind of filled it out with this information. So if you don't know what to do, then maybe there are some questions that you have. First, second, or third time ever to attend, maybe your name, a phone number. If you're interested maybe in serving or volunteering for anything. If you have some questions about the community, questions about the church, questions about the Bible, biblical counseling, these things are available. So if you would, just put your name on this. We'll take up the offering in just a few minutes, and these come directly to me. And if you don't have a pen and you have a lot to write, which many people, they fill it out, I mean, front to back, and they even attach others to it. So if that's the case, after church, there's a little wooden box that is right up here on the altar, and you can just drop that prayer request right in there. All right. We're going to continue to worship the Lord this morning with our tithe and our offerings. So, David Inlow, I want to ask if you'd come up and pray over our offering. Good to see you, Dave.
Thank you. I I'm looking forward to the trip I'm getting ready to take to beautiful Missouri. Cold, maybe? Maybe cold. I always like to spend the Christmas holidays with my twin sister and her family in central Missouri. So I do want to tell you about Ryan O'Connor. And I sent a prayer request around to the ladies. Ryan is a police officer in Arnold, Missouri, just south of St. Louis. He's been an officer about 20 years, 3 years at Arnold. He's, 44 years old. His wife stays at home with their three sons. Last Tuesday afternoon, he was called, requested to bring a caged SUV to transport a prisoner, and handcuffed prisoner, to their police department. The prisoner was a robbery suspect. He had stolen a gun, and they took a gun from him. Anyway, as they pulled into the back of the police department, he was shot through the cage. So somehow the suspect had another gun hidden someplace. But anyway, he was shot, and right away they went out from the police department, and in the car was him. He was shot in the head. And also the suspect, it was shot also, and it appeared like he had shot himself. They were transported to a local hospital in South St. Louis County, and the suspect passed away about 5 o'clock Tuesday afternoon. They took Ryan into operation. Later that evening, his father, Tommy, and his uncle Kane were there, and the doctors, after the operation, he was in critical but stable conditioning, but they were, you know, monitoring him. And the doctors told his father and uncle that if his brain swelled, that he would be gone. So we had I put that out in a prayer list, and we had a number of people praying for him, a lot of people praying for him and his family. The Thursday, well, let's see, I also want to say that my wife, Cheryl, would say, the doctors aren't prophets, you know, God's in control. And so we've had a lot of prayer going up for him. And Ryan is actually a cousin to Kane O'Connor, who's a nephew of my wife's. And so anyway, on Thursday, there was some swelling. And so they went back and operated. In the first operation, there was a couple bullet fragments they were not able to get out because one of them was really close to some very important functions in the brain. But they went in on Thursday and took those out. And then after the operation, the swelling started going down. So that's kind of a good report. And then on Friday, the governor of the state of Missouri, Eric Crighton, he came to visit. And he had been a Navy SEAL, and Ryan's older brother had also been a Navy SEAL. So, and then Saturday, let's see if I can, the Arnold Police Department posted on Facebook at 4:30 yesterday an update on Officer O'Connor's condition. He remains in critical condition, but thankfully is showing some neurological improvement. We ask for your continued prayer. A prayer service is forthcoming. Details will be available when plans are finalized. So that's the police department. I also wanted to say that back late September, I was having dinner with his uncle Kane O'Connor, and he was telling me that he had been witnessing to his older brother Tommy, which is Brian's father, and Tommy is a retired police chief from one of the subdivisions in St. Louis, but he had been witnessing to him. So my prayer is that both for the healing of Ryan through this whole detail, pray for his family, but also pray for not only the physical healing, but also the spiritual healing for the entire O'Connor family. So, and before I pray for the offering, would you like to lead us prayer for him and the police? Okay, after the offering. Okay. I just, anyway, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful for our church family here and the opportunity we have to know you as our Lord and Savior, and how we can help each other and work together and serve you. And I just pray your blessing now on the offering, that you will bless it and the gift and the giver, and just Bless our ministry here in this church and the outreach of this church, as I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, David. And I'll be praying for all of us here in just a few moments. The kids are dismissed to go to kids' church. They might have already left. I'm not sure. I heard some. But they are dismissed to go to the kids' church. Cindy, thank you so much for the volunteers that help back there each week. Sharon, you know, the Bible says when we come together that we're to come with a song, with a testimony, and with a word. And so, though we're running out of time, we still want a testimony because it's an individual, private message, in a sense, of what God has done in someone's life, that it's undeniable because it did occur with that person. So, Sharon?
And Revelation tells us it's how we overcome the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. I don't care how small or how large, but I know we have some praise reports in here today, and I'm going to start with Drew because he's bursting over here. Drew, you want to stand up? I tell you what, when he walked up this morning, he was glowing.
The last two or three days, I've had a revelation. It's just been, I can't explain it. It's incredible, and I know it's the Lord.
He said he was even singing in the bathroom. You can't explain God always, but it's his presence. And in spite of troubles, in spite of difficulties, and I mean, it's the Holy Spirit. You're full to overflowing. Praise God. That's so awesome. That's so awesome. I know we got another one over here, too.
I got wonderful reports from the doctors, the endoscopy and colonoscopy. All eight of the biopsies they did are positively normal. There is no cancer anywhere. And we're just praising the Lord because I know it was all the prayers that this church did for me. And we did the spine study, and I did wonderful on it. And so now I'm a candidate for the full surgery, and we're hoping to have it done before Christmas.
Praise God. We have some real prayer warriors that we send out a prayer on our prayer chain, and everybody's praying for the same thing at the same time. Anybody over here have a little? Johnny Mack.
I just want to say that Friday, my wife had to go to Tomball, Texas to go to work, and that was December the 8th, which is the day after December 7th, which was a day of infamy with Pearl Harbor. And that led me my whole married life to remember when our wedding anniversary was, the day after Pearl Harbor. But anyway, I just want to tell you folks that we've been married 43 years.
So, what's the secret?
Yes, dear. Yeah.
Smart man. 43 years. Like somebody said to me recently, I bet that was stressful. I'm like, wow. Congratulations. That's a gift from God. Anybody over here have a little testimony they want to share? Sharon.
Well, I was planning to go to the women's retreat this year, which I love, love, love. And just before that time, my husband was hurt pretty badly with a power tool. So I didn't get to come to the retreat, but all my friends were here praying for him the whole weekend, and I could feel it, and it really got me through a rough, rough weekend. And he is so much better, and thank you all for all your prayers.
Yes, we were praying. Thank you for sharing that. God is so good, and we missed you. How about over here? We got a praise report? Anybody else?
We have been praying for a sweet young lady that was hurt in a car accident back in April. And she is actually getting so much better. We are really happy. She has posted has a new posting on Facebook. We just found out, and such a blessing. And for all of y'all. If y'all, Nicolazzi, she's a sweet young lady, and we just want so much for her to get better, and she is. So thank you for all your prayers, and I appreciate your continued prayers for her, miracles for her. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Debbie. God is a God of miracles. I'm going to hand the mic over to Pastor Tommy. I know personally, and I know he does too, that we have some serious, serious prayer needs in our group. So, Tommy, I'm going to hand it over to you.
Okay. I'm going to start with the message, and then we're going to pray just during the message. So if you have a bulletin, on back of the bulletin is an outline of what I'm going to share with you. It's a couple of weeks before Christmas. You ever take a read on your family or yourself, and maybe an anxiety read to see how you're doing? And I want to say that you're doing well. And I mean that sincerely. Can you hear me out there? Yep. Okay. All right. So make sure. Yeah. Now, some of y'all are probably thinking, well, he doesn't know very well because I'm full of anxiety right now. But that's okay. You're here today, and one of the reasons that you're here today is to receive from the Lord. And the Lord will remove that anxiety from you, and he'll replace it with peace. You believe that? Well, you're going to experience that. Today, we're going to talk about a person who rescues others from evil, danger, destruction. That is the actual definition of the word Savior. A person who rescues others from evil, dangers, and destruction. And we know that's what the enemy is trying to do with our lives. And it is what we do when we do not know the Lord, is we can make choices that destroy our lives and the lives of others. But the Lord has a way of piecing our lives back together again and joining us together, not only as part of his body, but to be able to cause healing, to cause encouragement, to create love from God among those who do not know the Lord. And so during this holiday season, last week I talked about the indescribable gift. The Bible says it's an indescribable gift, but we tried to explain it last week. But today we're going to talk a little bit about the Savior as well. And I'm going to go from Luke chapter 2. I'm going to move kind of swift here this morning. Luke 2, verse 11 and 14. I call it the greatest event in history because I believe it really is. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. And suddenly the angels were joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those of whom the Lord is pleased." Amen. So Christ came to be able to give us peace, to show us that there is a God, that there's not many gods, but that there's one God. And there's no confusion about it. Amen. There's not anywhere else that you have to go. You don't have to have a cell phone or a phone line, nor internet to talk to God. Never have, never will, but it comes from simple prayer and reaching out and talking to the Lord. In Jude, I'm going to look at this verse, Jude, and that's backs right up against Revelation. Jude was the brother of Jesus. There's only one chapter, so it's pretty easy. But it's hard to find in the Bible when things are one chapter. Is this going out on me? Okay. I wasn't sure if it was me or what it was. It may be the battery, maybe. Yeah, let's try a new battery, maybe. I have one. All right, testing. All right, relax. This is not going to take longer because of that. All right. So we're in Jude. It's one chapter. It's back right up against Revelation. It's the brother of Jesus. Jude chapter 1, verse 20. It says, But you, dear friends, must build up each other in your most holy faith, pray in the power of the Holy Spirit, and await the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring you eternal life. And in this way, you will keep yourself safe in God's love. And you must show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. Rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment. Show mercy to still others, but do so with great caution, hating the sins that contaminate their lives. So it shows through Christ Jesus, we're able to love people, and not just the easy ones, but the ones that are hard, the ones that are cruel, the ones that disagree. But we can overcome that with the kindness, the love of God through us. Amen. And let me tell you, everybody falls on hard times. Everybody. And sometimes there's many hard times in one's life. But in every one of those situations, I see God has long during that, beckoning and helping that individual. And at some point, they come to light, so to speak. No longer are they blind, but they understand that the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, has helped them, has moved in. In fact, let me give you the many biblical definitions of Savior. It meant to save. Savior means to save us. Save us from a lot of things. Not just hell, but to save us from ourselves. Savior. It's an aggressive assistance. Travis was saying this when he spoke of the song, was it Impossible? What's the name of that song? Multiplied. Multiplied Impossible. No, it's just Multiplied. Travis was sharing with you that God is aggressive. His love is not just something that is weak or something that you're going to scare away. Now, our Savior Jesus Christ, that's a bold move that he made to come to earth in the first place because he knew the sin and the evil that existed. He showed no fear because he does not have the spirit of fear. And he came to this earth and took the risk of being born as a baby. And the kings tried to kill the babies. And all through his life, things just did not necessarily go his way. And when he started his ministry, the devil himself tempted Christ three times. Before long, it seemed like, as far as we're aware of, the whole earth, the area in which Jesus was at, and those that know him all turned against him, even the disciples. Because he did die, our Savior, Jesus Christ, whose birthday that we're celebrating at Christmas time, that is the makings of a God that is strong, that does not fear, one that loves us, one that laid his life down for us. And there is nothing that any of us have done to be able to lose that love and acceptance from Christ Jesus. So when it says Savior, it's an aggressive assistance. He is powerfully seeking after us and those who do not know the Lord, or those that know the Lord but are staying at a distance from him. Selfishness, pride, or have other things in their life. And here I want to pray. For those individuals that are in our life, they do bring us pain and suffering. There's no question about it. But the love of God should be able to help us, as the Word says. It declares to us that we still have peace and joy in our life. And as that sun comes up and it goes down each and every day, that much we know for sure. That on one of those days, the person that we love, or those that are on the run from the Lord, or those that don't know him yet, we pray will come to know him. Amen. Whatever relationship, just take a moment just to analyze. Whatever person has wounded or hurt you, feels very distant, feels untouchable and unreachable by God, bring them to your mind right now. Father, we come before you. There are many people in our lives that we love a great deal. And some of these people think that we do not love them at all, but we do. And many times they will not listen to friends nor family. But I know that you speak. And we're praying here right now, taking these moments, God. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for being born. Thank you for living as one of us and teaching and training us and giving your life so we can pray at this time in our age for our generation that they come to know you, Father. Reach wherever they are at and pull them from. Draw them in. Send others like us, Lord, that they will accept. They can also demonstrate that same love, that same Spirit of God. And I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. In Savior, also in the definition, he is a restorer. He's in the restoration business. So as you look at your life this morning, and I'm going to continue to kind of speak fast because I want us to kind of just, there's a lot here. I want us to assimilate all of this. Restoration. You need something rebuilt in your life, something that seems like a loss. God has let you down, you feel. You just don't know enough about Him. But don't let go. Have faith. Continue to hang in there with the Lord to see what He has for you and for others. He's promised many things to us. Sometimes we have confusion that those promises should have already occurred. But it doesn't mean that those promises will not occur. Hold on, because God is someone that you can trust. As Savior, He is also the giver, this is actually the Greek of this, the giver of a positive life. So you know how we can wake up and kind of hate on the world. We say that all the time in the news. Sometimes we see it too much that maybe we become like it, or we turn the news off because it's just overwhelming and it creates unnecessary anxiety in our life. But Savior actually means that He is the giver of a positive life. Let's us see the glass that is half full versus only the half empty. That there is something forward in that day that is yet ahead of us that is unknown. None of us know exactly what's going to happen after the service, when we walk out the doors of this church. And some of those things that are going to happen to us are going to be fantastic. They're going to be great. I plan on this season, as I do each year, but I never want it to be the same. Because my relationship, as it grows, like I've been married to my wife, as I come to know many of you as friends, through time, that relationship should become better, stronger. We know each other. And I know that this year, God has something good. Remember that big bucket pail that I carry around with me sometimes up here? Each and every day, I can take the largest bucket that you can imagine with a handle on it. It looks like you'd milk a cow and just fill it up. It's huge. I mean, it must be, I don't know, Dutch, anybody Dutch? You have big buckets like that? Each day, I can take that bucket out in the world that we have out today and bring in something good because God is good. Amen. And I appreciate even the festivities that Christmas brings. A lot of you in the church, you really took time and you decorated the church up with the Christmas tree, the lights. And I know this is not something that, I know you're doing it for the Lord, but I'm going to ask, if you took part of that, would you just stand for just a moment? And let's just see who you are. You decorated the church yesterday. Yep, and then maintaining it. You may be seated. I love it. I love it that you thought ahead and that you did that. That you thought in understanding what Christmas is represented to us. Some people are against even having Christmas trees or a lot of decorations because it says it commercializes things. No, I remember Jesus. And when I saw the light of that Christmas tree coming back last night from a long but good day, there was these multitude of lights right through that window shining. And no kidding, as I passed by that, I thought of the people being so good that did it. And I thought of how those lights represent the light among many people in our community. God uses, because He already owns everything. He uses everything to His benefit. He is Savior. He is super aggressive at what He does. Savior means that it is our reward in knowing Him. Well, that sounds pretty high and mighty of God. Well, guess what? He is God. He is high. He is mighty. And He can do. And it is true. It is a reward to be able to know Him.
especially believing by faith that he exists and growing from just that bit of faith into knowing God, creator of this universe. Amen. Savior also conveys, when people say Savior, or the term being saved, which is a terminology used only in some denominations, not all, but it actually means it conveys peace. The Savior conveys peace. Didn't we read in Luke, right off the bat, when the angels came, they were conveying to others so we wouldn't miss it. Though I'm sure when an angel presents themselves, I have never entertained an angel knowingly, at least until this time. I had no glowing, luminous individual. But I can tell you that I feel like that should an angel appear to me, that the environment would seem a little surreal at that moment. Would you not agree? Especially if there was like singing and like a choir of angels as what I read about in the Bible. Wow. Now I'm going to tell you, the Spirit of the Lord is that surreal to us. Yesterday, Cindy and I and Renee assisted others, played a role, a part in something that they had already done, helping so many families that have suffered so close to Christmas and really and truly would have not had anything. And you know, one thing that stuck out, though there were crowds of them, was that no one was greedy. But as they picked up things that they needed, they made sure that the other one had something too. And that, my friend, is the spirit of Christmas. It is the Holy Spirit that moves in people. That though broken and destitute and in disaster, in emotional turmoil, that the Spirit of God is there strengthening them. That they would even not just care for themselves, but know it's going to be all right. And do we have that understanding? I thought, how is it that some individuals, even that go to church, they want to help God, but don't know how? Unless somehow they find a way, or someone tells them this is how you help God, they cannot find a way, which I guess helps them understand they have purpose. Yesterday was unusual, and that many of the people that were helping, they didn't have a church. They weren't highly spiritual. But you can see the Spirit of God moving upon people. And as we joined them, so many were helped. And they had no instruction at all, except they wanted to do something that was good for others. Which that idea comes from Christ. It spoke to me yesterday, confirming, as God always does, that He speaks to people, even though they believe many times they're not hearing. I want to encourage you, as you help others, you are hearing from God. He's not going to notarize it and give it to you in a form that you can file away. But as you help others, you're doing what God wants you to do. There was a quote here from Mark Twain. To get the full value of joy, you must have someone to divide it with. And that really is true. Things are a little bit sweeter when you have those things shared with someone else. It matters. For if you had everything and you didn't share it, people aren't nearly as happy for you as they would be if you shared it, right? And the opposite is true. So remember that. It's best to be able to share things that we have with others. It makes it even better. Some see it as a cost. I see it as you can't not do it. The cost is part of it. Cost is enjoyment in the giving, the receiving of things. There is joy, there is peace, there is fullness of the Holy Spirit. People, you could preach to more people than you ever think about if you could understand that the way that we express ourselves in love and in kindness, in caring, in listening to others, is the Spirit of the Lord upon us, caring for others. It gets even sweeter when you can identify that it's Christ Jesus. And you know that he's real, and this incredible love that he's had for us flows through you like a river. The Bible says as it dwells up and bubbles up from within and overflows. What's the source? I'm not in a river or anything. You are the river. Amen. You are the overflow. We are the pipe in which Jesus uses. Psalm 51. Verse 10. So here we are talking about the things of God, our Savior Jesus Christ. And yet inside of us, we still feel like we're many times inadequate in many ways. I say, get over that feeling, because your feelings will always probably tell you the same thing. You're right, you're not very adequate. You're pretty human. But you must understand that God created us as human. And that is what he prefers. Believe it or not, it is what he prefers. And David cries out in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Don't banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. But restore to me the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you. So God's not going to make you, but our prayer should be this: make me, God. I don't want to sin. I don't want to lose it. I don't want to be out of control. I don't want to have anxiety. I want to have more faith. Then ask him. These things is which God responds and answers the most from us. And we tried to nail this song last Tuesday evening, I believe it was. It's in a different translation Bible, but it's a song. And if you know it, then sing it with me. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, my God. And renew a right spirit within me. Sing that much again. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, my God. And renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore. Restore to me thy joy of thy salvation. And renew a right spirit within me. And Lord, that is our prayer. Create in us a clean heart, a pure heart. Take that spiritual Q-tip and clean our ears out that we may hear you. Give us clean hands, God, in which to serve you. And let our eyes be set on you, Christ Jesus, that we may finish well and strong as we run this race of life. And God, don't let us be disqualified. Save us. Amen. There's a quote from Mother Teresa. She says, or she would say this maybe. She's with the Lord now. If we have no peace, it's because we have forgotten that we belong to each other. if we have no peace, it's because we've forgotten that we belong to each other. You see, the isolation in which that's what the devil would like us to do. When the trials and tribulations and the hurts and the pains and the holidays come up, the devil wants you quiet so he can just pack and cover you up with more thoughts and more lies and heavy burdens. But the Lord Jesus Christ, we're connected. We're connected with God, the Creator, and we as the body of Christ, connected with many others. It's a time of rejoicing. Philippians 2, 1 through 5. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? It's Philippians 2, 1. That's a question mark. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from His love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other and loving one another and working together with one mind and one purpose. And don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others, but be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. And don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. There is joy in serving, is it not? Before we left town to go to LaGrange, I was picking up a moving truck, and those that stood up, I saw them in Ace Hardware where I was getting the moving truck. And I'm like, what's it? It's like we're having church over there. So everybody I know goes to the church here. And when we left, I kid you not, you were there in Ace. Y'all had such smiles upon your face. You had a godly anxiousness about this is going to be a blessing. I could see it. I don't know where Mike is this morning, but I saw Mike too. Just a smile and just... There's Mike Dean just smiling about putting up a Christmas tree. Every one of you. I'm saying that because Mike's not here, so be sure to tell him. And I'm sure that it was without asking. Because there's joy in serving others. Charles Dickens, another quote. No one is useless in the world who lightens the burdens of another. That is so true. If you lighten the burdens of another, you're no longer useless. So let's make ourselves useful, right? And that's my last verse in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 18. And bringing it in, closing on time. So the Lord is talking to the prophet Jeremiah. And he wants to school him on something. And so he speaks to him. In biblical times, the Lord spoke to kings, to priests, and to prophets. Not everyone. It was very limited. Today, Christ speaks to all of us. It's New Testament times. In Old Testament, here's Jeremiah. The Lord gave another message to Jeremiah. He said, go down to the potter's shop, and I'll speak to you there. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, you see why I set that up that way. Whenever it gets so casual, hey, Jeremiah. Jeremiah's not like, is that God? Is there someone, did I just hear someone say? No, he knew God's voice. Jeremiah, go down to the potter's shop. I'm going to meet you down there. That's hearing from God. Verse 3, Jeremiah says, so I did as he told me, found the potters working at his wheel. And you know what I'm talking about, a potter's. You know, if you've been to Branson, Missouri, you've been to Arkansas, okay, some of these places, they still do. I don't know, Wimberley probably has some people that do this. The potter's wheel, they don't even use electricity on probably most of them. They like the old school kind of way because it's the coolest. And it's kind of a foot pedal with a wheel, and it makes this platform kind of spin, and they wet that clay, and they put it on there, and as they're
you know, I don't know. That's much like being a drummer, actually, thinking about it. So they're doing their foot and they're doing their hands. And as they're doing that, you're looking around at all these pots and cups and plates on the wall that are just, man, they're pretty awesome. And yet no two are really alike. You know, and what makes them even better is they're not perfect and smooth. They're handmade. There's some little mars, dips or divots. The paint doesn't go with the swirl. Doesn't matter. It's homemade. An artist took a lump of clay. You pay more for that. Get it? All right. Verse 4, but the jar he was making did not turn out as he had hoped. So he crushed it into a lump of clay again and started over. I remember seeing that happen too. The fellow just wasn't satisfied. Oh, it's looking real good. He'd pick up like a little stick or something over there and keep that spinning. Oh, it's perfect. I'll take it. Nah. What are you doing? That was worth money. That just took your time. I wanted that. Yeah, and I don't want to sell it. I don't want that to go out that way. What was wrong with it? Oh, you wouldn't understand. You're not an artist. You're not a creator. Okay, you're just a person coming in. You're looking at this as retail. This is homemade. And then the Lord spoke to Jeremiah. Verse 5, the Lord gave me this message after seeing that. O Israel, can I not do to you as this potter has done to his clay? As the clay is in the potter's hand, and here we are, so are you in my hand. God is constantly shaping and molding us. If you have any defects or anything, God can fix it, or you may be looking at the defect as something bad, and he's looking at something totally different that needs fixing than the little mark or something that you think that you know. God knows. We are human, created by our Savior, specializes in art. You ever seen a Siberian tiger? Oh, how beautiful. My wife and I saw one. It's just on TV, but it doesn't matter. The coloring of that, it's just, and I'm a little colorblind, but my wife said, that's black and orange. And for a second, I felt bad, but the more I looked at that tiger, the cooler he looked. I looked at that and I said, only God can come up with that kind of color and that kind of coolness. And on his ears is a little white mark on each of them. It looks like another set of eyes. I mean, I wanted to pet it, but I also know it would eat me, you know? It's created by God. You know, one day we're going to be able to lay down beside those big cats in heaven. Amen. Because it's not going to be a predatorial heart. Sorry. I'm trying to go out again. Maybe that was the Lord telling me, cut it. Maybe we should just do that. Has the Lord sent the message to us today that he is the Savior? He is the definition of everything that we need. He knows that. And do you know that? If so, you'll trust him and love him. Let me pray. And I thank you for your word today, Father. As Jeremiah heard, so let us hear you. And let us also follow what your instruction is. Let us not be disappointed with ourselves or the current situation, because you're not finished yet. You're the artist and we are the clay. And I pray, Lord, that we have an understanding of that. And that we still can lighten the burdens of another person. We still can have help of some sort. We can help financially. We can help with our talents, with our skills. Maybe it's with someone that we're connected with. Let us be used for you, Lord. Let us know the joy of your salvation and the peace of what it is belonging to you. And at the end of every day, knowing that we're fulfilling our purpose, and we pray, Lord, in the meantime, that we are strong. Help us to look at ourselves and to take good care of ourselves physically. For even that was part of your definition, I read, Lord. Savior meant to help us spiritually and even physically. For you have made us human, so also I pray, heal us in the name of Jesus. Heal our minds, heal our hearts, our sickness, cleanse us from any disease. Take away the anxiety and do that, Lord, just take it. I mean, we're not picking it back up in January. That's it. We're just saying no more anxiety and no more fear. That's it. We've had plenty enough of that in life. We need the Spirit of the Lord inside of us. So let that fear go and that anxiety and fill us, Lord, with the power of your Holy Spirit, I pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Would you stand, please? I bless you in the name of Jesus. Be empowered. God is aggressively pursuing you and helping you. You're never going to be alone. You're never going to be out of his sight. Oh, God. Just let your peace this holiday season just roll upon us and let it overflow on all that we know. So be it, I pray. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. And I'm sure they'll sing some song. Thank you. If you'd like special prayer, we'll be up front to pray for you.
His son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He bled and died to buy my pardon, and an empty grave is there to prove. Savior lives, because he lives. I can face tomorrow, because he lives. All fear is gone, but because I know he holds a future, that my life is worth the living just because he lives.